This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are talking about a very, very important topic, and that is the major sins. And we're going to return to the book on which we are basing our lectures, Al-Kaba'ir, the major sins by Al-Dhahabi, which, as I mentioned already, you can find it, mashallah, on the internet quite easily and download, if you feel like that, copies of it, and follow along with me, inshallah. Although, as I've said already, I will be altering slightly the order, adding a few things that have not been put in, but basically I'll be sticking with the book, inshallah. So we're returning to the book having gone through quite a long explanation of different aspects of the whole issue and the whole topic of sins and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does that mean and what are the consequences of it and the idea of sin in different religions. So now we are going to discuss the first major sin, the greatest sin of all. Without doubt, it is the worst and the most calamitous sin. This is the only sin, that if a person dies making this sin, there is no forgiveness for them. There is no possibility of them going to paradise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the hellfire for them. And that is the sin of shirk. What is shirk? Shirk, my dear brothers and sisters, means making partners or associating rivals with Allah. It means that a person or a group of people give to the creation any of the names or the attributes or ascribe to the creation any of the power or give to the creation any of the worship or ascribe to the creation any of the knowledge that only is due to and belongs to the Creator alone. So by ascribing to the creation some of the power or the knowledge or the worship or the names or the attributes that only belongs to Allah, they have done a great injustice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have done something truly horrendous because they have compared and made the creation equal to the Creator. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. That is truly a terrible lie and a great transgression. Truly, my brothers and sisters, this creation has been described by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being like a ring in the desert. This whole universe, which for us human beings is huge, massive, millions of light years across, yet the universe itself is like a ring in the desert compared to the kursi of Allah. And the kursi is like a ring in the desert compared to the throne. Just imagine that, how insignificant the creation is. So to say that something so insignificant possesses the power and the knowledge and to give it the worship that is only due to Allah is a great injustice, a great wrongdoing. Indeed, the very reason and the very purpose for which we have been created is to know this truth. The truth that nothing is equal to Allah. Nothing is equal to God. There is nothing in creation that can even be remotely compared to Allah. And any human being who fails to understand and to witness and to testify to that truth has failed the purpose of life. They have failed to use their faculties of seeing, of hearing, of understanding in the right way. They have failed to achieve the one thing that their Creator wanted from them. And this is reflected in a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet said that on the Day of Judgment, a man will stand before Allah, and Allah will say to this man, if you had the whole world and everything in it, would you ransom it now to save yourself from the hellfire? Please imagine that. Brothers and sisters, think about that. The whole world and everything in it. The whole world. All the cars, all the yachts, all the houses, all the wealth, all the money, all the animals, all the food. The whole world and everything in it. Allah asks, would you ransom it now to save yourself from the hellfire? Of course, this man will say, yes, my Lord. He would. Of course he would ransom it. And Allah will say to him, I asked you for less than that. I asked that you should worship me and not make any partners with me. That is what Allah is asking us. That is what Allah wants us to have achieved in this short life that we have. To know that He is the Lord, He is the Creator, He is one, He is alone, without partners and without rivals. And surely, the greatness of a sin can be measured by the greatness of its opposite, and vice versa. So, any particular virtue can be understood when you compare it to the sin or its opposite. So the sin of shirk, of making partners or making rivals with Allah, is compared and contrasted against the virtue of worshipping Allah alone, of singling out Allah for our worship, for our love, for our ultimate fear and hope and trust. And if we look at the virtue of that, we find a beautiful thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Allah said, O my servant, as long as you worship me and beg me, I will forgive you. No matter what your shortcomings, O my servant, if you meet me with the earth's full of sin, yet you do not associate partners with me, I will meet you with its full of forgiveness. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. That is the virtue of singling out Allah alone for worship. If you meet Allah with that, if you meet Allah having not worshipped anyone or anything else along with Him, of having singled Him out for worship, if you come to Allah with an earth full of sin, Allah will meet you with an earth full of forgiveness. So my brothers, let's look to what the Imam says, and he says clearly that the greatest of all the major sins is shirk. To believe that Allah has an equal, and to worship something along with Him, like a stone or a tree, the star, the sun, the moon, a prophet, a saint, or an angel. This is the greatest shirk, about which Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Verily Allah does not forgive that shirk, that partners should be made with Him. وَيَغْفِرُ دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَى. And He forgives other than that what He wills. And that's in Surah An-Nisa, which is the fourth surah and the 48th ayah. So most certainly, making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest crime. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is the fifth surah and the 72nd ayah, that certainly, indeed, Allah, whoever associates anything with Him, Allah will forbid the garden for them. And the hellfire will be their dwelling place. Certainly and definitely. فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ جَنَّةً That Allah has forbidden, made haram for them, Jannah, the paradise, وَمَوَاءُ وَأُنَّهُ And they will dwell in the hellfire. There is no other sin that has such a dire warning, that has such terrible consequences, that Allah has said that He will forgive. If He wishes, He will forgive any sin. But if a person meets Allah on the Day of Judgment and they make shirk and they haven't repented from it and they haven't abandoned it, that's it. There's no chance for them. Paradise is forbidden. The hellfire will be their abode. So my brothers and sisters and dear listeners, you can understand why this is the most important topic, the most important issue that everybody should be aware of. And it is a truly sad and terrible thing that many people, even those who call themselves Muslims, and they ascribe to themselves the religion of Islam, have in many different ways fallen into making shirk. It's truly an incredible thing. But that's the reality, as we will see, as we are discussing this issue. And I really recommend that you look out for a series of programs that, inshallah, will be shown also on Peace TV by Sheikh Salim Al-Amri, where he's going to go into this whole topic of Tawheed and Shirk in very, very, very great depth. And I will only be touching upon it because I have so many other different major sins that I want to cover. But certainly this is one of the most severe. We find, of course, the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, he said, shall I not inform you about the three greatest sins? And they said, yes, Messenger of Allah. And then he continued associating other objects of worship with Allah. And he mentioned also others, but this is the first thing that he mentioned. Okay? So this really, my dear brothers and sisters, is a truly calamitous thing. And let us also examine what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said a beautiful thing. No servant, no slave, and we are all the servants and the slaves of God. We are all His creatures, all His creation. So there is no servant who says, who proclaims, La ilaha illallah. Meaning, there is nothing that is truly worthy of worship except the one God, the Creator Allah. Whoever proclaims that and dies on that belief, but they will enter paradise. Whoever says, La ilaha illallah, meaning there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, and dies upon that belief, except they will enter paradise. I said, and this is the narrator of that, he said, even if he committed adultery and theft, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if he committed adultery and theft. And I asked again, even if he committed adultery and theft, and the Prophet said, even if he committed adultery and theft. The fourth time he said, even if he committed adultery and theft, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if he committed adultery and theft, and even if Abu Dhar, his nose was put in the dust. Meaning, even if Abu Dhar doesn't like it. And Abu Dhar was the one who narrated this tradition. So if a person who dies that, this is the virtue of this. Because why? The person has understood the most important thing. The most important thing. And this is really the purpose of life. Allah, He is the Creator. He created this universe so that we could understand this most important truth. So when a person understands that and declares it and true to it, then that is something that Allah the Creator loves. He loves it so much. He loves that a person should understand that and acknowledge that and witness that and to be true to that. So my dear brothers and sisters, we need to understand. And this is what, of course, Shaitan, our enemy, his primary purpose, his fundamental goal, his first objective is to find a way to make us make partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what he will try to make us do. And of course, this is what he did with the people of Nuh. The first people to worship other than Allah as a people were the people of Nuh. And how did Shaitan, he tricked them? He tricked them into worshipping statues of the pious people. And he did that because when the pious people died, he whispered to them and encouraged them. These are your pious people. Why don't you make statues of them and put them in your places of gathering? So when you see them, you will remember Allah more. You see, Shaitan was making them think that by making statues and pictures of these pious people, it would lead them. It would be a way to make them think about God more. And that's what they did. They made these statues. In the beginning, they didn't worship them. They just put them there to remind them. But then what happened? Generations passed. And the people began to commit sins. See, this is the consequence of sins. They began to commit sins. And of course, when they began to commit sins, the Nur of Allah, His guidance was not so clear to them. They became confused. And then sometimes when people commit sins, they begin to imagine, Allah will not listen to me. Allah, why am I a sinful person? God is so holy, God is so great. He will not listen to me. Who am I? What am I? And this is how the sin can confuse a person. And then Shaitan came to them. And then Shaitan said, well, do you know why your ancestors built these statues? Do you know why your ancestors made these pictures? Your ancestors did this so that in your times of trouble, you could pray to them. You could call upon them. You could ask them. And they will be your intercessors, your intermediaries. They will take your prayers to Allah. They are the pious ones, you are not. So if you pray to them and call to them, they will ask Allah for you. This is how worshipping other than Allah started. So then instead of calling upon God, instead of calling upon Allah alone, they started praying to these statues and pictures who represented their pious people. And that's how they began to worship other than Allah. But in reality, they were worshipping pictures, bits of paintings, bits of wood, bits of stone that could not hear them, could not harm them, could not help them. They had no power. Those dead people could not hear them because they were in their graves. So then they began, and this is the thing. So what do? They began to put their trust, they began to hope that those dead people would hear their prayers. They began to hope that they will intercede. And so their hope is not anymore in Allah. Their trust is not anymore in Allah. And this is how people moved away. The first people who came to worship others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were the people of Nuh. And this is how Shaitan tricked them. So Luqman, see how Luqman the wise, he said, oh my son, don't join in worship others with Allah. Verily shirk is dhulm azim. It's a great oppression. It's a great wrongdoing. And we mentioned this previously. The right of Allah is that you should worship Him alone and not make partners with Him. Why do you give to the creation something that you should only give to Allah? Oh my brothers and sisters, oh my dear people, think. Please, think about it. If you are the boss of a company, if you are the leader of a company, and you have people working for you, and you paid them their wages, and you gave them their money, you paid them for working for you, but they were working for someone else, and they were using that money, they were taking the money and going and working for someone else. What would you do with those people? Is that right? That you should work for someone else while you're being paid? You're being paid by one and you work for another? How can you worship something in this world. When Allah is the creator, He gave you life. He feeds you. He clothes you. He guides you. And you worship someone else, and you worship something else, which itself depends upon Allah. Itself needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you worship other than Allah when He gave you life, when He feeds you, when He clothes you? Subhanallah, that is injustice. That is a great wrongdoing. And it's the greatest of all the great sins, is to make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah mentioned, it is those who believe and confuse not their belief with dhulm, with injustice. And when the companions of the Prophet, they became very distressed when they heard this verse of the Qur'an, and they said, which one of us doesn't confuse our belief with wrongdoing? We have belief, but we do sins. The Prophet said, no, this is not what it means. Haven't you heard what Luqman said to his son? And what Luqman said to his son, oh my son, don't join others with Allah. Verily, shirk is the great injustice. So this is what it means. Don't mix your belief with shirk. And this is the reality. Allah says in the Quran, and He tells us the meaning of which is, most people don't believe in Allah except they make shirk with Him. Look at most of the world's religions, Christianity. They believe that there is a God. They believe Allah, the creator of the universe, the heavens and the earth, the one God. Yet they claim that Jesus is God. They make a partner with God. They claim the Holy Spirit is God. They make partners for Allah. In the traditional Chinese religion, they have a concept of one God. Tian, I think they call it. They have a concept of a supreme, the sky God. Shang Tie, the supreme God, the supreme Lord. They have a concept of that. And they believe that the rivers and the streams and the mountains, they have spirits. And this supreme God, the God of heaven, the supreme Lord, is the one who controls these spirits. But what do? They worship the spirits. They give offerings to the spirits. They think those spirits are intercessors between them and God. So they have an idea of a supreme Lord, but they make shirk. And similarly, you find in Hinduism, in Buddhism, you have a concept of a supreme creator, one God who is the origin, the creator of all things, yet they worship some created thing. They worship the creation instead of worshiping the creator. This is a great injustice and a great wrongdoing. And I'm sad to say, even many people who call themselves Muslims, they claim that they believe in Allah, but they don't believe in Allah except many of them make shirk. They worship and pray to the dead people in their grave and make dua to them and imagine that they are intercessors between themselves and Allah. And that is not any different than the idol worshipping of the idol. It's the same thing. So brothers and sisters, take care, learn, understand this important topic. Be careful of shirk, because it is the most deadly and the most destructive of all the major sins. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.